We're back to Mark chapter 6. Title of this message is Compassions Fail Not. They fail not. His mercy, His pity He has upon His children, they never fail. Never. And we'll see this here in just this short little portion of Scripture. Our Lord has compassion on the multitude. Not just one or two. Thousands. He has compassion this morning on thousands. On us this morning. The fact that we have His Word, someone to stand and preach His Word, is evidence of His compassion this morning. That it's on us, still on us, in spite of ourselves. In spite of me, the Lord still has compassion on me. Listen to this Scripture over in Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's why you're not consumed this morning. Don't any of us think that we're pretty good fellows. That's why we're doing well and not consumed. Now, we're not consumed because of who He is. I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But here it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They fail not. And we see this in the Gospels as our Lord is just time after time after time. So many people keep coming to Him and the sick keep coming and they keep coming and His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. In verse 29, and when His disciples heard of it, that is John's disciples, when they heard of John being beheaded, they came, they took up that headless body, and they buried it. As I told you last week, they didn't bury John. He was with the Lord. They buried His body. And they laid it in a tomb. And over in Matthew, it says they came and told the Lord what happened. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. You got the disciples of John, and you got the apostles, and they've gathered themselves to the Lord. And the disciples of John have said, told Him what happened to John and what they did. You know, they buried the body. And He knew their heart. He felt their pain. He felt it. And that's why He took them and the apostles aside for a while. He said, let's come apart for a while. Let's come apart and rest for a while. You know, our Lord remembers our frame that is dust. We're not nearly as strong as we think we are. Not at all. But He knows who we are. He made us. And He knows what's going on in their hearts. And so He's going to take them apart for a little while. And they're going to rest. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. And told Him all things. Both what they had done. And what they had taught. Remember, He gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out and they preached, repent. They preached the gospel and healed the sick and cast out demons. And they came and they told the Lord all things that they had done and that they had taught. And the first thing that hit me when I read that is that Christ is our Lord and we must give account to Him. They are giving account for the ministry and what they did. Give an account for it. You know how weighty that is? to stand before God and give an account. To look into His face someday and give an account. And that's what they're doing here. They're giving account. And He said unto them, because He knew their hearts. He knew their heart. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Take it easy. There's nothing wrong with that. I was telling Henry once, I said, Vicki and I had been 15 years, we hadn't taken a vacation. And he said, John, even the Lord came apart for a while. He said, you need to come apart for a while. You need to take a break. You need to go on vacation and rest if you can rest on vacation. I haven't found vacation to be too restful myself. Time you drive. You know, we never take a vacation usually any place close enough where we can rest. We wear ourselves out driving there, and we wear ourselves out playing there, and we wear ourselves off getting back, ourselves out getting back. That's the idea of an American vacation. We don't know how to rest. I'm convinced of that. In this country, our culture, we don't know how to rest. We don't know how to sit down. My granddaughter, the other day, she says, I'm bored. She's at the house, and I'm bored. I said, hey, tell me what that word means. She goes, I don't know. I said, then how do you know you're bored? I said, if you don't know what it means, then how do you know you're bored? We're just fidgety. We just got to be entertained. And the Lord's saying to them, come apart for a while and take a break. Rest. I made you. I know you need rest. I know how sinful nature is. I know how sinful you are. I know how sinful this world is. You need to take a break. You need to take a break from it and from yourself. Henry told me something. I probably don't tell this, but Henry said that he was going to take a vacation. And somebody said, what do you need a vacation for? And I said, Henry, why didn't you just say from you? He goes, I wish I'd have thought of that. I need to take a vacation from you. I don't need to take one from you. Maybe we need to take one from each other. But He says, come apart for a while to a desert place. Not the beach where it's crowded. Not where it's hustle and bustle. Just come apart and let your mind come down. Let your emotions come down. A place where you can actually reflect and think upon the Lord and meditate and get out of the hustle and bustle of it. We need rest. But where do we find real rest? Where is real rest found? With Him. Christ is our rest. In this desert place of a world, there is one place where we can come apart and rest. And that's in our Lord. It's in Christ. We can find rest. Whatever troubles are going on, whatever there is, at the end of the day, you can truly and honestly find rest in Him. Rest in His person, rest in His providence, rest in His grace, rest in His truth. I'll never leave you and forsake you. Can you rest in that? Can you rest? Yeah, you can rest. If you're His, you can. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. What do we see here? You know what we see here? The shepherd leading the sheep to the green pastures. And He's going to make them lie down and rest. He's going to take them over there and He's going to feed them. They've been out feeding the people. Now He's going to take them and He's going to gather them by Himself and He's going to feed them. I need fed. There's no way for me to feed you without Him feeding me. No way. So we see the shepherd of the sheep leading the sheep to the green pastures. And so He can make them lie down and rest and feed them. It's also said to be a desert place. People were coming and going and just hustle and bustle. They didn't have time to even eat. They had no leisure time to even eat. And he takes them to a place, as he calls it, a desert place. When Christ is there, wherever he is, it's a time of refreshing, even if it's a desert place. This world is a desert place. Where you work is a desert place, isn't it? But if Christ is with you, it's a time of joy, it's a time of refreshing. Someone said, a prison, a palace would prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. A desert place. And now here the Lord shows His compassion. And I want us to get a hold of this, because this is who He is. This is not just, you know, every now and then we may have a random act of kindness. You heard that slogan, do a random act of kindness. This is not a random act here. This is who He is. This is the meek and lowly one. He is so easy to approach. He's so easy to be around. Not like those Pharisees that were hard as a stone. But sinners felt comfortable with Him. And He had compassion on them. He wasn't saying, my, man, you guys wear me out. Because we could do that. His compassions are new every morning. Mine's not. Mine's not. And yours not either. You and I can literally wear out each other's compassions. We can do that. But we cannot wear out His. They're new. Every morning. We don't leave any of it unused, that's for sure. But here He shows His compassions. And His compassions, as I said, they fail not. Over in Mark chapter 1, that leper came to Him and said, Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. And the Lord looked at him and had compassion on him. So it says He had compassion on him. And He said, I will, be thou made clean. He said, if You will, You can make me clean. Look over in Micah chapter 7. Let me read this to you. Our Lord's compassion. In Micah chapter 7, right before Nahum, and that probably didn't help anybody. And that's right before Habakkuk, and that probably didn't help you. Those little ones are hard to find. And Nahum, Habakkuk, chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Boy, you ought to hang that on the fridge. Hang it up. He will have compassion. He will subdue our iniquities. Iniquity will not reign over us. Sin will not have dominion over you. It will not be allowed to. In Romans 9 it says, He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy, and He will have compassion on whom He'll have compassion. And the people, in verse 33, and the people saw them departing. And many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and outwent them and came together unto Him. As I said, they felt comfortable. I see a crowd here that feels comfortable around Him. We never read of them running after the Pharisees like this, do we? No, it's like, I got to go there again. People follow them begrudgingly. No blessing out of it. There's nothing worse. I don't think there's anything worse than to come. That would be to come here, sit down, and just go home week after week and go, oh my goodness. God. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it. Life's too short to do that. Eternity's too long. But the people here felt comfortable in His presence. And those who saw Him, it says they knew Him, and when they knew Him, recognized Him, they what? They ran after Him. I pray that He will enable us to continually run after Him. Not leisurely take our stroll and take it for granted that He's going to be here. He may not. He may vacate the building before you ever know it. Run after Him. Urgent. It's urgent because He's never still. Our Lord was never still. He's always moving. Always passing by. He's passing by. And I'm telling you this. Our Lord is passing by here for however long, who knows? Maybe many years, may not be. I don't know, but I do know this. Right now, He's passing by, isn't He? And I hope He keeps that up. I hope He does. But they knew, they saw Him, they knew Him, and they ran afoot. They put forth the effort. A lot of effort went into this, to run after Him afoot. Came out of all the cities, and they outwent them and gathered themselves together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, He saw much people. And He was moved. Moved with compassion. I love to read this because I'm reading of my Lord. I'm reading of my God. And I'm watching Him. I'm looking at these pages and I'm watching Him, and I see who He is. And if He has compassion on them, He can have compassion on me. They ran after Him. I'm going to run after Him. Maybe He'll have compassion on me. He's a compassionate person. The most compassionate person ever walked on this earth. It's Him. That's His nature. Meek and lowly in heart. And He was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. I believe it's over Matthew. This is recorded in Matthew and Luke, that He healed some sick. You know, there He is again, doing good. Doing good, showing mercy. You know, this world benefits every day. Every day, this world benefits from His compassions. Those 5,000 men and all those women and children were not all saved. But they were all fed. They were all fed. They were all taken care of. Who takes care of this world every day? He does. This is my Father's world. It's His world. The earth, in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. It's His. He has compassion every day on this whole creation. He sends the rain, the sunshine. The food grows. Do you realize how totally we are at His mercy? Even as just His creation. Just let it not rain and see what happens. He had compassion on that multitude. And when the day was now far spent, at the end of the day, a long day, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desert place where we are. And now the time is far past." He took them out there on purpose to rest. And once again, they're going to see the power of God. They're going to see the mercy of God out here in this desert place. That's where we see it. When He takes us out there away from all the help and all the grocery stores and everything that we could use to help ourselves, He takes us away from them. He's going to perform a miracle. Send them away. My. The apostles who just cast out demons, who healed the sick, are now saying to the Lord, this is how blind and dumb we are. after what they just witnessed, they said, send them away so they can go out and buy food and take care of themselves. You can't take care of yourself. Not what you really need. Not what you really need. But I want you to notice something here. And this is what our Lord made. This is on purpose now. He made His disciples, His apostles, realize their inability to feed all those people. You're not able to do it. And they recognized that. They looked at that crowd of 5,000, probably 50, I don't guess 10 to 15,000 people. And they looked at that crowd and they're saying, Lord, we don't have enough, there's not enough money to feed this crowd. We don't have enough here to feed. Send them away. Let them go and provide for themselves. You're not going to provide anything. God's going to provide. God's going to provide all that we need in Christ. And they had to recognize, or the Lord made them recognize first, their inability to feed the people. I cannot do that. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it that way. But other than that, can't do it. And we who preach must be made to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are not sufficient for these things. I'm not sufficient for this. I know I'm not. And nobody else is either. Nobody else. Paul said, God is our sufficiency. God's our sufficiency. If you're truly fed this morning, if you're truly fed, if you really leave here blessed and filled and you've got something out of it, He did it. He did it. He used this crack pot to say something. And you got something out of it. But He did it. He broke the bread. He blessed the bread. He blessed it. And He broke it. And He gave it to them. He said, now you give it to the people. And that's the way preaching is. He blesses it. He breaks it. He prepares it. And He gives it to the preacher. And He says, now you give it to the people. You feed the sheep. I don't want to hear a rendition of the gospel. I don't want to hear just somebody repeating the 3 R's. You don't want to hear that in this pulpit. I don't want to just repeat the 3 R's. And it's not reading, writing, and arithmetic either. It might as well be if that's all you're going to do, repeat it. I want to hear it preached. I want Him to feed the sheep. Give you something. And He will. If you're hungry. If you come hungry. If you come looking for food. If you really come hungry. Not just to come here because it's Sunday morning. If you come here because you're hungry. I promise you. He'll feed you. You'll eat. You'll eat. And you'll be filled. You'll be filled. And then we must learn not only our own inefficiency to do this, but we must learn that Christ is sufficient. He is sufficient. He answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Is that what you want us to do? No. You give them to eat. He makes them take account. Secondly, first of all, they realize their inability. He's going to make them realize His sufficiency. But one of the first things He's going to do, He's going to make them take account of what they have. I can look at myself and I think, what do I have? Who am I? Isn't that what David said? Who am I? What is my house? Who am I? They said, we just have five loaves. I just have a limited education. So do you. We all have a limited education. We're just pretty much educated in one area. But he makes us take account of what we have to really look at it. Now, I mean to really look at it. To really look at it. And you look at it. And you think, man, this is over my head. Sooner or later, you're going to realize this is over my head. And they realized. They realized, as all God's creatures must realize, that what they have is not enough to feed the people. Lord, I need you. I need you. It's depressing. It is absolutely depressing when I look at myself and think, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. That'd be like a cook, a lone cook, standing in the kitchen, and there's 5,000 people out there wanting something to eat. And she's going, are you serious? I've got to cook for all those people. I've got to feed all those people. And you got to feed them week after week after week. That's depressing to think of. If you got to do it. If you got to do it. Now, there are some people like Joe Osteen who believe they can do it. But believe me, you know I'm not that. No, I couldn't do that. I could think like that, I guess, but I couldn't do that. But when I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I see Him, I realize I can do it. Through Him, I can do all things. He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Well, they got to look into that bag and look at those people. And go, well, he said, go see now. Go see. You're going to look at it. You're going to check it out. You're not going to get to ignore it. And when they knew, they said, I got five loaves and two fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. God's a God of order. I want you to notice the order here. He says, now, you go out there and make every one of them sit down. Sit down. He commanded them. He said, don't go out there and ask them to sit down. Tell them to sit down. You know, we kind of, in this day and time, we just don't like to order, do we? We give a command. Don't just tell them to do it. Just ask them to do it. You don't want to offend them. You don't want to make them think they're a servant. Good night. Call them an associate. That's too offensive nowadays. Call somebody a servant. Gee whiz. Our Lord said, you will command them to sit down. I'm the Lord. I'm about to feed them. And I'm not going to feed them until they sit at my feet. That's when we learn. When we sit down, shut up, and listen. And we sit at His feet, like Mary, who sat at His feet and learned of Him. She sat at His feet. And they sat down in ranks. They did what they were told. By hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, that's all He had. That's all He needed. He looked up to heaven. And blessed. He blessed. And then He broke the loaves. And then He gave to His disciples. And He said, now you give them something to eat. That's what I called you to do. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter. And the two fishes He divided among them all. Now, I can imagine, you've got 10,000 plus people sitting out here. You've got five loaves that could sit on this podium right here. You've got two fishes, and it never ran out. And we have trouble trusting God. We have trouble trusting Him. We are fed when He blesses His Word. When He blesses it, we're fed. He looked up to heaven. I want you to notice something here, and I'm going to close here. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to His Father. Why did He do that? Because He did nothing by Himself. He did nothing by Himself. The whole Trinity works together. The one. They are one. And they did eat. They did all eat. And we're filled. If He does the feeding, I assure you, you'll be fed and you'll be filled. If He does the feeding. And they were all fed the same meal. That just struck me. They were all fed the same meal. You know, if we all went to a restaurant right now, we would not all order the same food. I stopped once with my mother at McDonald's. And she's standing there looking and looking and looking. I'm thinking, Mom, it's McDonald's. It never changes. I mean, it's just, I know what I want before I even go there. And she's looking and looking because she wants something different. She wants something different. I never want anything different. I usually eat the same old, same old, same old. But He fed them all the same thing. And they were all filled on that one meal. We have one message. We have one gospel. And everybody here that's hungry will be filled. If you're hungry, you will be. There's something in every message for everyone who's hungry. Something. Some of you, I've said this before, you've left here and you said, boy, I got this out of this. Somebody said, I got this out of this. I mean, you'll get different things out of it. But they were all filled, weren't they? They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments. And that's only 12 baskets. They gobbled that thing up, didn't they? 15,000 people? You would think there'd be more scraps than 12 baskets. They ate it all up. It was good. It was good. The gospel's good to the needy, to the hungry. It's good. No waste. There is no waste in the gospel. Absolutely no waste in the gospel. And they did eat of the loaves and were about 5,000 men. I believe it's over Matthew said, plus the women and children. He fed them all. Those disciples, I bet they were thinking every time they came back, wow. 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 Just like a barrel of oil. Just kept on filling up. Just kept giving it out. That's amazing to have seen that. They saw it with their eyes. And yet they still doubted. Isn't that amazing? They still doubted. How many times has God delivered us and we still doubt when the next one comes around?